Are you or a loved one in the midst of a cancer diagnosis or bouncing back from your battle? Welcome to Thrive Through Cancer, the podcast that offers hope and healing and shares personal experiences, self-care solutions, health tips, and the support of a community of people just like you. I'm Susan Johnson, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner whose own son was diagnosed with cancer right before his third birthday. My job was to keep people healthy, to help them fight disease. So when my own son was diagnosed with this scary illness, it was so humbling. But rather than becoming a victim, I began researching. I up-leveled my knowledge and my mindset, and I chose to serve others through our own cancer journey. This show is an opportunity to find and share strength through our struggles. You'll hear from health professionals, innovative thinkers, beautiful personalities, and those who have learned to live life to the fullest despite their diagnosis. We'll raise some questions, find some answers, shed a few tears, share more than a few laughs, and give each other the motivation to get through one more day every single day. So join me in this journey and let's learn to thrive through cancer together. Follow us now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your shows. Well, I am so excited to have you guys listening in on this really special episode, and you may be watching this as well. But we have a couple of really special guests today for a unique episode of our podcast. And I get to introduce you to two really important people. One I'm just getting to know, and the other I feel like I've known forever. We just brought her on and we've introduced you already to our new director, executive director of KIT Cancer, Dana Hinton. And today we're joined also by Brittany Vasseur, who is an amazing influencer and shares on many different platforms. In fact, I'm super excited. She shared with us some of the fun things she's doing for the upcoming holiday. You may know her already, and I'm just getting to know her, but she's joining us today to share a little bit of kind of a sneak peek into her experience walking alongside her brother when he was diagnosed with cancer. And just sharing her perspective. And I thought it would be so beautiful to have Dana, our new executive director of KIT Cancer, just to kind of ask both of us some questions and introduce us a little bit more to Brittany and her really powerful story with her brother, and share with you at the end what we're doing for Giving Tuesday this year and just the giving season for KIT Cancer, for our nonprofit. So both of you, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Excited to talk about such an important issue and different ways people can help.
Well, I am so happy to see my friend Brittany here. Brittany is, yes, like you said, a YouTube sensation and just an amazing entrepreneur. But she's also one of my dear friends and has been, I'm going to age us, but for almost 15 years, I think, going on 15 years.
Crazy.
So I'm so happy to have her here. And she's been a huge supporter when she found out that I decided to come to KIT Cancer. Even before that, she was a big supporter as I walked through my sister's ALS diagnosis. So she's always been cheering us on. So when she heard that I was going to be on board with KIT Cancer, we started talking and she so willingly and generously decided to come on here with us to talk about her brother's walk through testicular cancer. He was 22.
Dana, I would love you, before we jump into that, how did you guys get connected? I don't even think I know the story of how you and Brittany originally met.
We met through Brittany's husband. And he went to college with my husband. So I still remember the day that he brought her into our lives, and Brittany and I were immediately like, yay. And I'm like, that's thank awesome. You. You finally brought me somebody that's going to be a friend for life.
Yes.
So yes. We met in our 20s. Now I'm in my 40s. So we met in our 20s, spent many nights together, many Halloweens, lots of memories, my wedding.
Yes, I'm trying to get Dana to move back to San Diego. I feel like it's going to happen.
I mean, Susan doesn't care because I can connect with her anywhere. I mean, she's in Mexico.
And I do love San Diego, so I'm not disagreeing with Brittany. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, everyone needs to move. Well, you have a good setup too in Mexico.
Yeah.
My, My friends who are listening to this from San Diego will be cheering. My friends in Phoenix are going to be calling me saying no. But yes, moving back to San Diego to be near our friends is definitely on our to-do list. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
So yes, so that's how Brittany and I met.
And I would love, yeah, I'd love you to just share, ask Brittany some questions for our audience to get to know a little bit about her brother and her story.
For sure. And then one thing I want to add is Brittany and I, we had such a great time being pregnant together with our first. Our oldest are only a week apart. So we got to experience our first pregnancies together, which is anyone who's been pregnant knows that's we're texting each other in the middle of the night. Like, is this happening to you? What does this mean?
I know. More so with like the newborn stage, like all of a sudden you have this living being that you have to, you're responsible for. I don't know what I'm doing. Nobody knows. So that was such a good support. Oh my goodness.
There was nobody else that would answer my 4 a.m. phone calls except for Brittany.
Yeah. The group chat was really lively.
we should have kept screenshots of it. I'm sure.
I know.
But yes, Brittany. Okay. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about your brother and that diagnosis. And I mean, clearly I know when you get told that your sibling has a disease like that, it is like a punch to the gut. So walk us through what that was like and what it was like for your mom and your brother and you.
Yeah. So, at the time I was living in Washington, D.C. I was working as a consultant writing business plans for socially responsible businesses. So a lot of times it was nonprofits who would start, a thrift store or some kind of profitable business, but they would use that money to fund their nonprofit mission. So I had a great job, a whole life in D.C. And one day out of the blue, it was around Christmas time, like early December, mid-December, phone call from my mom. She's in hysterics. My mom does not cry. To this day, I've maybe seen her cry 3 times in my entire life. She's hysterically crying. So I know something is wrong. And she tells me that my younger brother has cancer. At the time, I want to say when he was diagnosed, he was 24. And it's just, I think the thing specifically with childhood cancer or cancer at a young age, it's really, you get so blindsided because it's something you think, oh, maybe when I'm old, or that's something that older people experience, but you don't expect it in children and when you're younger like that. And we don't have a history of cancer in our family. I mean, it's just completely never in a million years would have expected that phone call. And it appended, it changed my entire life in 5 minutes, which I'm sure anyone who has been on any side of a diagnosis, like they know the feeling. There's like my life before that phone call and my life after that phone call, because my mom was so torn apart. She was running a business. She has a skincare company and a day spa. And she's like, I don't know how I'm going to continue the business. I don't know what to do. And within 10 minutes, like it wasn't even a question in my mind. I was going to move back home and help the family and like be part of this. I couldn't be across the country when something like this was happening. Yeah. Sorry, this is hard. I should just say, I don't talk about this much at all because it's so, I mean, I'm sure you all can relate. Yeah. It's just, I literally even seeing the word cancer, like if I watch a movie or read a book with cancer in it, I have to skip past it because it's like, it's so scary when you've dealt with that before. Sorry. So I decided within 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm moving back home. I'm quitting my job and I'm going to work for the family business and help, you know, however I can. And so my brother was diagnosed with stage 3B testicular cancer. So normally testicular cancer is very treatable. It's one of the most treatable forms of cancer. I think there's like a 98% recovery rate from it. However, his was the most severe stage it could be. It doesn't go up to stage 4. It's 3B is the highest stage. At the time, I don't know if it's changed, but because it's such a sensitive, you know, awkward area, he had a lump in his testicle. You know, he's a shy kid. He's very shy. And in general, even if you're not shy, like it's awkward to go to the doctor. Yeah. Like I have something wrong on my testicle. So he noticed the lump, but didn't go in and get treated for almost 8 months. And it was growing, and he noticed it there, and he did not get treatment. So one of my biggest takeaways from all of this is go to the doctor. I don't care if it's in an uncomfortable area, if you feel weird about it, it is so much better to be safe than sorry. Like, and I'm now like, I go the one of the, like our family, we're so holistic that sometimes we try and treat things ourselves, but go to the doctor, especially if something is changing and growing, which reminds me, I need to go get a skin check this year. So yeah, that was the first thing. So by the time he even knew he had cancer, it was like, it was an escalated situation. It was stage 3B. It had spread, to his lymph nodes. I want to say his lungs, like multiple. I mean, it was really bad. So they got him on high dose chemo and he did multiple rounds of that and he was chemo resistant. So his numbers were still going up. He was not, actually, no, he first did regular chemo. Sorry. He did regular chemo and he was chemo resistant is what they called it. And it was going lower. And then it came back, like it was going down a little bit, not as much as they wanted. And then it just came back much more multiplied. I don't know a lot of these technical terms. And so then at that point they said he needs high dose chemo and he needs to be in the isolation ward because he'll have no immune system. So then he moved into the hospital and got the most intense form of chemo that you can get, like to really try and blast it out. We were told at that time he had less than 5% chance of surviving because he was chemo resistant. His body wasn't responding well and it was continuing to spread. I don't know if it had got to his brain, possibly. A lot of it, again, I like kind of black out. Like I don't talk about it or think about it much, but we were kind of preparing for the worst at that point. So we were just rotating in and out of the hospital. And he still, so the long story short, he was there, I want to say for 3 or 4 months doing the most intense form of chemo. And at the very end of that, he still had tumors. It was not like, we're like, he's going to die. Like we were starting to prepare for that. And they said they could do like a last ditch surgery to try to cut out the tumors. And there was like a low chance it was going to work and it was going to help, but they're going to try it anyway. So he went and he got, I believe it had to be open heart surgery. There's multiple surgeons. It was like 10 hour surgery. They said one of his tumors was the size of a grapefruit and they did it. And sorry, I never talk about this. And it worked. And the cancer never came back. It's like a miracle that, like, the chemo didn't really work, but removing the tumors, and I do think it's the combination of the other things that we did, which we'll talk about later, that I think worked. But, like, it is a miracle that he's still alive. Like, I don't know, like, what angels are looking out for us, but yeah, he's still here, and he made it through. And even after that, like, you know, his markers went down, but every like few months he had to keep going in. And every time he would go in for, you know, another test, we're all just expecting it's going to come back. Like that couldn't have worked. Chemo didn't work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and now it's been, I don't know, 8, 9 years and he's still cancer free. Wow. So that's the story. It's again, just wild that our expectations were so low. We were literally looking at funeral arrangements. Like that's where we were at. So another little thing I will say is no matter how bleak and how bad things seem, there is a chance that they'll get better. Cause we were preparing for the worst. I mean, when you're told less than a 5% chance, they're pretty much telling you, you know, it's not going to happen. So never lose hope. That's my other message.
Oh, friend. Thank you for sharing that. I know that was difficult. And I know exactly how you feel.
That she said, Brittany, I think that like something that you said right away, just I feel like, okay, now I can see into your soul. I feel like I see the person you are, but that right away when this happened, that you were willing to drop everything as a sister and go, I'm committed. I'm in. Like, I'm stepping into the ring and I'm going to fight with you. I'm not going to stand on the sidelines and cheer you along. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that you were willing to drop everything, and I think you might be thinking, Brittany, well, yeah, of course. But until you're in that position, you don't realize like the weight that it is on a family and also the sacrifice that you made to do that, to say yes and just move across the country and leave your job. And that's beautiful. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. I think that's so incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. At the time, it didn't even seem like a choice. It was just within 10 minutes, my entire life changed. I mean, that's how I'm even here now in San Diego. I wasn't ever planning on moving back to San Diego. I had my life. I had my friends. I had a great job. Everything was in Washington, D.C. I moved back and my trajectory of my life completely changed. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because I would never wish that on anyone, but you know, things in the end, I'm so happy with my life now. Mm-hmm. But I would not be out here. I wouldn't have the job I have. I wouldn't have my family. Like, everything in my life changed for the better, for the worse. So it's just wild.
Yeah. Wow.
And I mean, I can relate so much to that. Just how it's like, let's drop everything. Cause that's what you do for the people that you love. You know, it's like not, I mean, when my sister got diagnosed, same, it was like, I'm quitting my job and I'm going to be in Seattle as much as I possibly can. One thing that I loved, and I mean, I know Brittany's family personally, and I absolutely adore her mother. She is just the absolute best. So I would love to hear, because just about like the hope, because that's something that this campaign that we're getting ready to launch is all about. It's about sparking hope. And I really think that's what our kits, which we'll talk about in a minute, that's part of their job. Yes, it gives them like nutritional benefits and knowledge, but it also is hope. And I feel like that's something that my family and I clung to, even in those, like, I mean, obviously my story ended differently, but even in the last moments of Jen's life, there was hope in a different way. But I feel like that's something that's hard to get to. So I'm curious, like, how did you and your mom, like, how did you find those hopeful moments in the midst of visiting the hospital with a 5% success rate?
I mean, I want to say that I was so positive and I thought it was going to work out, but you almost don't want to be. It's like, you're very, very cautiously optimistic. My approach was just like, throw everything you can at it. Like, yes, the doctors are doing their thing. We want medical attention, like the best medical care you can get, but also approach it from diet, nutrition, anything you can. Like, we were just doing all of the things possible from all angles. So treating it more holistically. And I felt like by doing everything you can, that's all you can do in life. Like, give it your absolute best. And whatever happens, you have to kind of release that. So that's kind of where the hope was knowing that we were doing every possible thing that we could to help.
Mm-hmm. I love that, because I think that it's hope isn't passive. I think sometimes, like you just said, Brittany, that there's this, like, I didn't have this fake, unrealistic positivity, right? Hope isn't passive. It's actually, and this is why we started Kit Cancer, was because I knew that as a mom, when your baby is diagnosed with cancer, or as a sister, when your brother is diagnosed, or as a friend, when your best friend is diagnosed, you feel more hope when you feel like you have a tool or a resource mm-hmm. that you can play a role in, right? You can almost, not that you're trying to control the situation, but there is hope in feeling like you can play an active role, you know? And so for you, like you said, throwing everything at that, like nutrition,
yeah. I think like you're really doing powerful. Something. You're not just sitting here waiting to die. Like, I am doing everything I can to improve. And one of my strongest assets is I am one of the best researchers. Like, that's one thing I will give myself credit for. I am an excellent researcher. So I just got to researching. I'm like, that's my skill set. So I'm going to research every possible thing I can and see what I can do to help. And I don't, at the end of the day, I'll never know if what we how much of it was what we were doing or what the doctors were doing. I don't know, but somehow all together ended up working out, which is just crazy. And I'm so grateful.
Well, and even if it didn't end the way that it did, you would be able to say, we know we did everything we could.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Like the doctors don't have our days numbered. We can't, I know that even what we do, like I can't guarantee a child's going to live, but knowing that peace you have that like we threw everything at it, we did everything we can is really powerful.
It is.
Many cancer parents wish there was more they could do to help their child thrive through their diagnosis. They're sick of dealing with the side effects from treatment, low ANC, and unplanned hospital stays. Not to mention having to often resort to the band-aids that are currently offered, but they don't always work. At best, they provide temporary results that sadly rarely last. Although I'm now the go-to expert for many cancer families, it took my own journey with my son to learn how to help families thrive today. And oddly enough, what I learned and put into action was so counterintuitive that I didn't mention to anyone at first what I was doing. I thought I'd be ridiculed because it was different. It challenged convention, but it worked. Finally, my community of cancer parents had a simple and proven method to help their child thrive without extra medication, without forcing their child to eat something they didn't want to, without interfering with doctors' protocols or breaking the bank. I call it the Thrive Through Cancer formula. And if you'd like to see how it works and why it's more effective than most options out there, then I invite you to watch a brand new online training where I show you exactly how my clients have achieved lasting results following this unique process. You can watch it by going to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Inside, I'll share the leading cause of our kids feeling unwell during and after treatment and what we can do about it. I'll share why cancer parents who want to enhance their child's quality of life should avoid keeping their child in a sterile environment. There's a much more powerful and natural way to help support their child's immune system. I'll share the unexpected reason why kids with cancer have a hard time avoiding inpatient stays and how to change it. So much more will be shared in this webinar, and you've already taken the first step by just listening to this. So please take the next step and watch the free training today. Go to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Now back to our show.
I know when my walk with my sister through ALS, I mean, obviously ALS is terminal. So we kept hope, but we all weren't, ignorant to how that story was more than likely going to end. But I think for her, it was, hope was different. It was a very weird grieving process, grieving someone who's still alive. It was even stranger watching my sister grieve herself and her former life. But when she got to this place of acceptance, it was like a different form of holistic medicine. You know, like she gave back in such beautiful ways, like, and we really did make every day count. And she touched a lot of lives across the world. And I feel like that was her way of, you know, taking all the medicine she could and making the most of every day that she had on earth. Yeah. So, but this is a question for both of you, but I'd love to explore the nutrition side because I mean, even in the few weeks that I've been with Kick Cancer, I've learned so much. Like I had no idea that as a child has to do chemo, like that legally they have to do it. So that was something that I wasn't aware of, but, let's talk about the nutrition side of it. Brittany, I'd love to hear, what brought you guys to that? Like when, how did you turn to that? What did the first steps look like? And when did you start seeing progress?
So on my side, it actually so happened because I read a lot. Like I read 1 to 3 books a week, fiction, nonfiction. I had just happened to have read a book that talks something about nutrition and cancer. Now I think maybe it's more commonly known or talked about, still not as much as I think it should be, but something I was like, oh, maybe there's a link. So I went to researching, and I came across it's actually in Mexico. There's a man who treats cancer, like terminally ill cancer patients using juicing. Like, so it's just really condensed nutrition. And he had this whole protocol. And I'm like, you know what? Let's try it. Why not? Like, let's try all the things. So we did this regimen. We got like the nicest juicer, like hydroponic press, something. And we did around the clock juicing. I mean, I don't know. Some of it was like beet juice, celery. He had this protocol. I'm like, you know what? Let's just try it. Cause he had some great success. Let's do the juice. It's not going to hurt the situation. One thing though, This is another like crazy part of it that looking back, and I do want to talk about, is when he was in high dose chemo specifically, they told the family to not give him fruits and vegetables because it was a high risk of contamination because his immune system was so low. No fruits and vegetables. Like, what? Like, that is nature's healing. And so we went against the doctor's orders. We just got extra, you know, organic, and we were very careful about washing everything. That blows my mind. I have so much respect for the medical profession, but I also happen to know, which is something else I'll talk about in a second, my new Bible, How Not to Die, this author, he's a medical doctor, but he says that in medical school, there's one class on nutrition. Like, you get, I think, only a few hours on nutrition. So that element of it is just a different specialty. So I did my own research where you did like the whole juicing thing. And then I also came across something called Nucel, which is like a supplement you take every 6 hours and it's supposed to help. Broccoli is like a big one. So we were just throwing the nutrition at it, everything that I knew at the time. Now, currently, I just read this book that completely changed my life. So I would want to recommend, if this isn't already in your kits, putting it on your website, or I don't know if you're familiar, How Not to Die. It is all research-based, study-based of what foods help you not die. I mean, some of it's like cholesterol, heart disease, but there's a whole section on cancer, and there's like foods you can eat that help reduce your chances of getting cancer or if you have cancer. And lo and behold, broccoli is in here. So I was on to something 10 years ago. So now I kind of base our family's diet around this. We just threw everything we had, everything that I knew at the time at it. And a big part of it was juicing, which is just to get those nutrient, like as much nutrient density from fruits and vegetables as possible. So again, I don't know how much that helped or didn't, but in my mind, it did help.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, like you said, 10 years ago, first of all, kudos to you because it was a lot harder to research things online. There just wasn't the same access to information, right? You'd have to spend a lot more time. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's so much research. Well, we just look at ancestrally, like look at our ancestors, but also just the common sense factor plus the research of the benefits of fruits and vegetables. And yeah, we experience the same with kids. The doctor comes in and he says, let your kid eat whatever they want. If they want, this was literally word for word what our oncologist told us. If Kicker wants cake, chocolate cake and french fries from the cafeteria, please let him have it. And this is what is told to every family that's walking through treatment. And so why what we do and like even providing these kickstart kits with some organic snacks and things for them to start making that connection is huge. So yeah, Brittany, I can assure you that that played a huge role in his healing.
Yeah. And another big thing, which I think I saw you all talk about as well, is like sugar, like cancer feeds off of sugar. So we had no sugar, like no sugar at all. That was like another big thing, which, and he talks about that as well. So yeah, there's a lot of things you can do from a, you know, nutrition standpoint that I do believe helps, and the research backs that up as well.
And I think one thing that I want to comment on just for those listening, when Brittany made the comment about what their concern with fruits and vegetables when you're immune compromised, it's a really old understanding of science based on the Pasteur model, Louis Pasteur, who invented the idea of pasteurization. And I won't bore you with the details, but basically it's kind of the idea of sterile. Like they're so concerned with, they want to sterilize everything for the patient to make sure, because they have a low immune system, that they don't come into contact with anything that's threatening. However, the lack of education and nutrition for these oncologists, to Brittany's point, they receive, it's actually an elective now. It's not even required to have nutrition education. So they don't understand the power of nutrients because they're not taught it. All they're taught about is bacteria and virus in the sense of like the effects, right? And so to their point, they're just trying to keep the patients healthy the best way they know, but they don't understand that the benefits from fruits and vegetables and probiotics and all of these things that many patients are told not to take, they actually activate the immune system to fire and to fight. And so it outweighs the risk of infection. Like the benefits outweigh the risk. However, again, they don't know this because they're not taught it. And it's pretty maddening. But we're going to link, Brittany, we'll make sure to, we'll have you send a link that we can put in the show notes to with that cookbook, because I think that would be great to, for people to have access to as well, at least listening.
Yeah, I highly recommend the audiobook. I listen to it as I drive. And it's good because I'm driving to the grocery store and it's like reminding me, eat more beans. He's very big on beans.
Beans or beets? Yeah.
Beans. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, who knew? They need a rebrand, is what I say.
Yeah, that's true. But my husband and my son, that feels like I'd be moving into a nightmare house if I fed the beans.
I know. See, they need a rebrand, because if you take a good probiotic, you're fine. Yeah. And your body gets used to it after like 2 to 3 weeks of eating more beans.
So I'll just move out for 2 or 3 weeks.
And then yeah, exactly.
I love it. Well, so one thing that I think you guys have in common is your love for essential oils. Brittany loves essential oils. And I know that plays a big role in our kits. So I wanted to kind of touch on that, and maybe that can take us into our kit. So for anyone listening who doesn't know what the Kickstarter kits are all about, we can talk about that. And then I'd love, Brittany, your opinion after season kind of goes over this. Like, if somebody were to hand you a kit like this when your brother was diagnosed, like, I'd love to just hear how that would have changed everything.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say, because I'm now very knowledgeable on essential oils. I even had an essential oil company pre-COVID. But at the time, that was not on my radar and we did not use. So I actually would love to learn from you how you're using it in this capacity. Because I don't even, that wasn't not something that was on my radar.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I didn't know that about you. So that makes us for sure friends. We both like plant medicine like that. You know, I think the most powerful way we've used them, well, we actually didn't start using essential oils. And I was a practitioner going into Kickers, my son's diagnosis, but I didn't know anything about essential oils. And so we were introduced to them from a naturopath and my sister, who also at the time was a natural practitioner. And we started using them immediately. And now 10 years later, it's a huge part of really thrivership, like being able to thrive through a diagnosis, because they can help mitigate symptoms and side effects that come along with treatment. But one of the most powerful ways that we implement this, we teach families, is to your point that you talked about the immune system. So chemotherapy, because it's a cytotoxic poison, it depletes the body of all the good and the bad. And because of that, that's why the immune system, you know, is totally ruined for that period of time. So there are some specific essential oils that you can use as long as they're certified, pure, tested grade, right? You're not going to the store and buying the now brand essential oil that has hexane and fragrance and all of these things. But you're using a pure brand. And what they've found is a combination of certain oils like oregano, clove, lemon, tea tree, frankincense, using these in combination on the bottoms of feet can help stop the duplication of virus DNA on the inside of a cell.
Wow.
And so we know, like, we have to keep these kids' immune system and adults protected going through chemotherapy, right? And they're around their family members who could be sick. We're going into the holidays. I know a big fear for families is like, we want to hang out with family, but we're worried about our child being immune compromised. And So this was a tool we used on the bottoms of my son's feet. We made a blend in a roller bottle every single night and every single morning. Literally, it was so simple. And you know, Brittany, you use them. It's so easy. So we would roll this blend on the bottom of his feet every night. And in 3.5 years, he had chemo every single day for 3.5 years. He didn't end up being hospitalized one time from opportunistic infection, not once. Okay. And we were told in the first 1.5 years of his treatment, they said you'd be hospitalized at least 10 times just for getting sick. And I was like, absolutely not. This cannot be a part of his childhood. And so I don't just believe, but it's based on research that they do play a really huge role, especially because they can penetrate the cell membrane because they're a lipid, and they go into the cell and literally stop the duplication of virus DNA.
Wow. So, and is that something that like people can do even if you're not, even if you don't have cancer, like, is that something that you guys are still doing and would recommend?
Yeah, we call it our kind of, I'm trying to be compliant in my language, not get in trouble, but it's our cold and flu season remedy. We do it every night. It's a roller bottle that looks like this, right? You can use one of these and we just put it on our feet. And then when you're feeling under the weather, you do it. I tell people to put it over your thymus because it is kind of the control center of your immune system and your feet, and do it like every hour or so. You might smell a little bit like pizza because of the oregano, but you're going to feel great.
I want to start. I need to pick that up for my family. We do this. I'm really into this nasal iodine spray.
Oh yeah.
I have my kids do it awesome. Before and after school every day. There's research on that. Like it kills the virus in your nasal passages, and knock on wood, they have not had to miss any school so far yet this year. So that's I don't know amazing. If it's working. Again, it can't hurt the situation in my mind. Like, do whatever you can.
It's like the whole idea of first do no harm. It was the Hippocratic Oath. Doctors used to take the oath that said, first, I won't cut, poison, and burn until I try basically natural remedies. And so to your point, why not try that first before you open your medicine cabinet and pull out something that does have a list of side effects? And granted, and I'm the first to admit, natural medicine doesn't always work. And I actually am thankful for chemotherapy and surgery and radiation because I think it can play a role, but it can't be the only thing. And if we have something that can give people hope, put hope in somebody's hand, like a caregiver's hand, to say, try this and it works, like that's incredible.
Yeah. Well, and not and only for the child.
Anything that you're treating, having a holistic approach, meaning like, you're treating it from multiple angles is only going to help the situation. Like, don't just choose one thing. You're putting all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Do as much as you can, as long as it's not going to hurt. So do no harm, but do as much as you can, even like from a mental side of it, like going into therapy and treating your spiritual self, like do it all.
Mm-hmm. I love that though, because from a caretaker standpoint too, like my sister was at her sickest during COVID. And I was terrified of giving her COVID and like being the reason, you know, I mean, obviously the reason would be ALS, but, so, I mean, I think that's such a great point too, for like you mentioned season, like the people that are around the families, you know, being able to still, cause I think that's a huge part too, is like being able to still be close to the people you love. You know, that's also part of the medicine that we need. So if you can't be around those people because you're scared, they're going to get you sick. So, I mean, I feel like that's one thing I really love about these kits too, is what it's a whole family solution. It's not just necessarily for the child.
Yeah, exactly.
So season, highlight the kits for us.
Yeah. So the kit kind of came, the idea of these kickstart kits came because I just felt like families, you're so overwhelmed when you're first diagnosed. And you're hearing all of this information from your medical team and you're just kind of like, you're just completely overwhelmed. And so even the idea of research, like having a Brittany in your life, somebody that loves you and is willing to do that research, usually it's not necessarily the mom and the dad in those first couple weeks because they're just flatlined. They're so overwhelmed. And so I thought if we could put together a kit that's so simple and doesn't require a lot of thought to introduce as soon as possible a family to natural remedies that they can notice pretty quickly reduce side effects and increased energy in their child, and just kind of be the gateway to opening them up to exploring more about juicing or about nutrition, about detox, about spirit, their spiritual life. And so we put the kits together to include everything from organic snacks that are delicious, not just like, here's some chia seeds that a four-year-old is going to be like, yeah, that's I'm good. Thanks. Right? Like healthy things that kids would normally eat, but showing them there's healthier options. A devotional book for the family to read together to grow their spiritual journey, to help them feel hope. Mm-hmm. Essential oils to immediately be able to use. And the essential oils we send in the kits are a kid's line specifically. So it's the names of them tell you how to use them. Rescuer, Brave, which was my son's favorite one, right? And then we also have detox supplies. So supplies to put Epsom salt and baking soda in a bathtub for the little kid to help pull the radiation and the toxicity out of their body. Castor oil pack kit to show them how to pull toxins out of their liver. And, you know, and then of course some fun things like a superhero cape for the kid to wear around, but basically just an idea of here are some things right away you can use. And of course we include some simple instructions, to just help your kid get started in their thriving journey through this diagnosis. It doesn't have to look the way that we see on commercials, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't have to be that way. We can play an active role. And so the kit is that. It's that idea to help a parent or caregiver feel like they can play an active role.
Yeah. I love it. So I know we're running out of time, so I just want to kind of pull things together. We are about to launch our big Giving Tuesday campaign. It's going to take place over the course of the next month and a half through the end of the year. We have a hefty goal of $100,000. $100,000 will fund 1,000 kits. So really our goal is to get 1,000 of these kits paid for and into the hands of those who need this and need this hope. So, which brought us to our name. So it's Spark Hope and Ignite Healing is our theme around the next, 45 days or so. We've tried to make it easy. You can text Kit Cancer to 53555 and donate directly from there. So we have lots of different ways for people to give. Brittany, we even made you your own little profile on our campaign. So if any of your fans want to help support this cause, they can give you credit for the donations. So that's where we're headed. And we have big goals for 2024. We didn't get to talk about it too much, but a focus for us next year, is also going to be our athlete program. So Season's husband, Josh, it's one of his passion projects, but he also wants to make sure that children, when they're going through this, they have the opportunity to still participate in sports. And if they can't participate in sports or whatever it is that they want to do, to move their bodies, while they're going through this process, to be able to do it as soon as they're done. So we have scholarship program that we're really going to make a big focus so that we can help make those dreams come true and get those kids in the football camps or into the dance classes or the gymnastic classes. So we have lots of big hopes around 2024 and we're just hoping and praying that all of our, all of your followers and all of our community will come together with us and really help us achieve this goal.
Yeah. And one last thing I want to say is a reason I wanted to get more involved and, you know, help raise money for this cause is like in my mind, when my brother went through cancer, I didn't have kids at the time. Now having my own kids, there is nothing I could imagine scarier or worse that a person could go through than seeing their child sick. Like,
yeah.
I would much rather take that on myself and like, I can't imagine anything worse. Truthfully, having your child sick and being so scared for them, but having to be brave. So the fact that you're coming out with these kits that can help empower the parents and do that research for them and just things that are going to help add to what they're already doing and give them the power and the knowledge. I mean, I think it's amazing. And I think, I love that it's the kits just given to them. And we didn't have anything like that. And I think it would have been amazing because I was just out here Google 10 years ago, like trying to find random information. There was not the same tools out there. So I love that your mission and what you're doing. And I think it's just so impactful for these families.
I think so too. I just love being a part of this. And it's so funny, over the last few weeks since being here, it's like, I think I cry every day because I get to hear these stories or talk to some of our board members. But it's crazy because it's like, yes, it brings me to tears, but the hope and when they talk about the Kit Cancer Kit and what it did. And I know that Shannon said that her doctor said, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it and tell everybody about it. And she's like, This is what it is. You know, it just makes me happy to be a part of this. So Susan, kudos to you for creating this and allowing us to be a part of this journey.
Thank you. And thank you guys. I mean, truly this, the only reason that we're almost 10 years into this movement is because people like you, they're willing to get behind us. And it's hard because like Brittany said, it's not the popular opinion, especially of the medical facilities, is to do things a little different and to take your own path. Mm-hmm. And so it has been challenging, but to have people like you that just get behind us and help our movement get to other families. Like there are thousands of families in just probably my state, my home state or your state that don't even know we exist, that need us.
And how do you like connect with families? Like how do you typically find them to give them the kits?
Right now it's referral. It's just, I mean, of course we have social media pages, right? But it's mostly right now referral. And I know Dana's working on some big projects of getting just some more, you know, traffic to our website and bringing more people in to see, but it's been really word of mouth from other moms that have experienced the benefits and just talking about what we do.
Yeah. But I think that's a good point. And why we really want to hit this goal is because before we start marketing and bringing more traffic to our site and more attention to us, we want to be able to have those kits like ready to go. Like we want a family to be able to reach out. And I mean, I know how it was and I'm sure you do too, Brittany. Like when you start researching, it's like, I need this now. Like I actually need this yesterday. Like I need you to call me right now because I need an answer immediately. So we want to be able to have everything ready to go to send out and deliver that hope. Next day air, 2 day air.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's get some kits, 1,000 kits by the end of the year. That's the goal.
So when you go to the site or when you text the 53555, it'll come up and it'll allow you to choose how many kits you want to give. So it's very simple. One kit, two kits, even you know, if it's too much, you can give a quarter of a kit. So we've tried to simplify things and really make it so everybody can get involved. And I know this time of year is special to everyone. And I think everybody has a heart for giving at some place. It's just a matter of where they want to give. So hopefully we can be the solution for people and they'll support us.
So you said it was text Kit Cancer to
53555. So yeah, text Kit Cancer, all one word, Kit Cancer or a space. It won't matter. To 53555. And you'll get a message sent back to you with a link directly to our Ignite Hope, or Spark Hope, Ignite Healing campaign.
Awesome. Well, I will be donating for sure and sharing. So send me the link too.
We will. Thank you guys, both of you, for all you do.
Absolutely. We'll put everything in the show notes as well. Any of the things that Brittany talked about or we brought up, and even a link to request a kit if you're a family that needs a kit. We'll make sure to include all of that in the show notes as well. So yeah, thank you. And thank you, Dana, that's for great. Making this connection. And thank you, Brittany. I feel like I have a new friend in my life and I'm thankful that your brother is healed and whole and doing well. Mm-hmm. And thanks for sharing his story.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. And thanks for all the work that both of you are doing. It's amazing.
Yes.
Happy to do it.
Thank you guys. Okay, let's play a game really quickly. What is one thing that you wear, or let me say you should wear every single day if you're really active and you tend to sweat? Yes, ding, ding, ding. The answer is deodorant. Now, some of you are totally natural and I love that. Good for you. But for me, my husband, and even now my teenager and almost teenage son, I'm happy that we're choosing to wear deodorant because we are real active and we do sweat a lot. So here's the thing though. Most commercial deodorants actually put your health at risk. They contain harsh chemicals and artificial fragrances, some that have actually been linked directly to cancer. These ingredients also can clog up your lymph and prevent your body
from being able to push chemicals out. But the good news is this: Primely Pure deodorants are non-toxic. They're made with simple organic ingredients that are 100% natural and safe. And here's the best part: it's a natural deodorant that totally works and is formulated for sensitive skin with just a little bit of baking soda. It smells amazing. It works great even after workout, even if you're my husband. And there's no aluminum, no parabens, no fragrance, no triclosan, no talc, nothing artificial at all. So our favorites are Blue Tansy, the Citrus Vanilla, and the Charcoal Deodorant. Now, while you're at Primally Pure, I'm going to give you a discount code, but you also should try their dry shampoo and their oil cleansing line. In fact, you won't be mad about anything you purchase from this company that is very intentional with their sourcing, with their manufacturing, and making sure it's a quality product that really does work and supports your health. So go to bit.ly/primallypurewithseason. That's bit.ly/primallypurewithseason and use code SEASONJOHNSON10 to enjoy 10% off. You can find this in the show notes as well, but tag me once you get your Primally Pure and tell me how much you love it.